I suck at jujitsu.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I guess you suck less.
The high level leader of the Canucks won it.
Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the newest episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So today, we are going to look at kind of this idea of coming back as a competitor. And as we look at this idea, I'm going to tell you guys about last weekend where I came back as a competitor. It's been a while. It's been 9 months since I've competed, but there's just been so many significant life changes since I've competed the last time. My weight class, my age group, and just everything about competition for me changed from the last time I competed to this time. And so I just wanted to kind of talk about that. And give you guys kind of some of the things that we talk about on the show that I used, that I kind of just trusted in, and I think that they still worked very well. And so we'll kind of talk about the result of the tournament. We'll talk about all of that kind of stuff. But the real focus is going to be today for people that really, if it's your first time competing, I think this stuff will really help you. But especially if you've gotten reps competing before and you're curious as like, years later, how is it going to be at a different belt level? How is it going to be? And so we're going to get into all that, and we're going to, we're going to answer those questions for you guys. And hopefully my perspective and my story that I kind of go through here is going to help you guys. And we will just go ahead and get into today's episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. All right, guys, so here's what we're going to do today. We're going to be playing a little story time with Josh, and hopefully maybe not even learning any new lessons, but more just reiterating the competitive lessons that we've learned a bunch of times on the show. And just for me, I'm going to be able to tell you guys how much I trust the stuff that we talk about on the show, because if you follow your boy Josh McKinney, or you follow the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show, you know that life has been very different for me lately, and so competition is going to be the same way. So for context, last time I competed, I was a middleweight, 181 pounds, competing at the world's level, competing against literally some of the best guys in the world and doing really well. And that was where we last left our hero. And then in that time, our hero had a son, gained 30 pounds, was weighing in at 208 at one point, and then decided it was time to schedule a competition so to motivate myself to come back. And so the perfect competition comes up. It's Memphis Open. And the reason it's the perfect competition is because for me, my birthday is February 23rd. Memphis Open is February 24th. I'm turning 30 on February 23rd. I'm competing a Master One, you know? And so I know that the level is going to be tough. It's black belt. But I also know the matches are not 10 minutes. And, you know, there's no chance that the number two guy in the world is going to jump into my division at the last minute, and then I have to compete against him at that level. And so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where we're at with it. And I go back to normal, I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show stuff. Get reps, try to deepen your understanding, get reps, get in shape, go performance days, go volume days. You know, I'm probably only training 3 nights a week for this, or 3 days a week consistently for this tournament. There were some weeks I got 4 times, but just with the newborn, the infant, my wife says, it's just hard to make sure I'm getting to train enough, right? And with running the gym and just all the other stuff that I do. Getting ready to compete, getting those 3 days in, and probably 2 of those days are just volume. I'm going maybe live rounds, but doing them with people that I am slightly bigger than and significantly better than, and getting reps and reps and reps of the things that I want to be hitting. And so as it turns out, even though I competed at a heavier weight class, nobody was in my division. And so I didn't have any matches in gi or no gi for Master One, and I only had open classes. So my day goes ultra heavy, super heavy, ultra heavy, super heavy. And so let me just say off the top here, we're going to go heart to heart with you guys today. And this is people listening to this episode or people who are going, okay, I want to learn how to come back to competing, or I want to learn how to compete and just be a better competitor. And so if you haven't competed in a long time, I really want to convince you throughout this episode that it's a good idea. Maybe you should compete. You know, you're listening to this episode, you're prepping for something. Maybe it isn't a bad idea to just say, hey, even though I'm not in the perfect shape yet, even though my life isn't in the perfect spot yet, maybe I could just go get reps at a local tournament. Maybe I could just go get a tournament. It doesn't have to be Master Worlds. It just could be Fuji in my city, you know? And, for me, not that I didn't do a super, super tough division, but it was just different. It was just me saying, okay, six-minute matches, I could do six-minute matches. I could be ready. I could be in shape for six-minute matches for sure. You know, like if – and I kind of even had to play the – you know, I could have made medium heavyweight for sure. My weight class was heavy. I was 2 pounds over medium heavyweight. And so I could have made that, but for me it was like, okay – I only have a certain amount of focus. I have to coach that day. I have to compete that day. I am going to focus on, I don't want to not be able to hydrate while I'm doing that, right? And so that was where I was at with it. I had one match for heavyweight, and then that guy moved weight classes right before you could move weight class, or could, you had to stop moving weight classes. So I didn't have anybody in my division. Open classes, that's all we're doing. I am more sore even today on Wednesday, 4 days later, than I was last year at all in all the competitions I did. And I was more sore Sunday than I have ever been in my life. I am not exaggerating. I felt like, and I think it was just still not being in, you know, not being in perfect form shape. And, then also just competing against really, really tough guys in 6 minute matches. And that's like, and strong, slightly bigger than me, some guys significantly bigger than me, but slightly bigger than me matches, or guys. And it just, to me, there's something about that, about having those matches with that big of guys and then also playing bottom. That probably was a huge mistake too. That was, it was brutal. But that being said, it was still, I wouldn't take it back. It was still a blast. And I feel like I got to stretch that competitive muscle, flex that competitive muscle a little bit. And that's something I've been wanting to do, is just to kind of go and test myself and see where I'm at. Cause I know where I'm not at, you know? But I don't know, like, okay, well, if the chips were down and we had 6 weeks to train for it and we had to just bring some heat, how much heat could we bring? And that's what we did. And I'll give you guys kind of play-by-play of matches maybe towards the end or mid of this. But first I want to talk about what worked. Because we, you know, in my little bit of training, it was volume days, performance days. Volume days, volume days, volume days, one performance day. Volume day, one performance day. Then it was time to take some rest and perform the day of the tournament. And that was, you know, obviously there's all kinds of other things that we could be explaining. Eventually, I'm going to tell you guys about some positional spars that we've been doing that I got from Henry Akins, but I want to try to get him on the podcast again and let him talk about them instead, because me and my guys have gotten so much benefit from them specifically for competition. And so, yeah, we'll eventually talk about that. But besides that, I really don't feel like there was much significant change besides the volume of training I got to do. So it was just like train, mental prep. Expect the normal jiu-jitsu tournament layoff. The normal jiu-jitsu tournament layoff is you are going to be stressed. You know, you are going to have anxiety that you haven't had in a long time. Maybe it is going to cause you to not perform as well. You just, as we talk about, you stay in the moment. And that was all I focused on. It was nice for me. I got to coach Fuji St. Louis the weekend before. And so at least it wasn't my first time competing in 9 months and my first time coaching a whole day in 9 months. The week before, I got to coach a little bit and I got to go, okay, this is how this feels. This is how I manage my energy on the day, because you know, we get there at 10 and I'm coaching until 3 p.m. So I know, you know, like that's specific to me, right? But the concept is be present and so, and conserve your energy, right? And so while I'm coaching, I am coaching and letting guys yell for me, you know, like maybe I say something and then my guys are yelling it, right? And they're bringing a lot more of the energy. I'm just kind of coaching. I'm just kind of being there for what I can be. And then when it's not time to coach, I'm sitting down and I'm chilling out and I'm relaxing and trying to conserve my energy. And I'm also not trying to be in my warm-up or trying to be in my match or trying to be anywhere else other than where I am in that moment. When I'm walking to get coffee, I'm going to get coffee. You know, when I'm talking to somebody, I'm just there. You know, I'm not in the tournament. I'm not letting that anxiety kind of spill over. It was cool. During that time, I got to, I ran into Rich of the Men of Principle podcast, which I've been on before. And it was cool. He was telling me that same exact stuff that I'm talking to you guys about today. He was going, hey, I've become a better competitor. He's like, I have, you know, some of these ideas that you talk about on the show have helped me become a better competitor. And it was, he was just talking about that idea of being loose. And he's like, I, you know, like not being so tense and trying to fight for every single inch and kind of being able to feel. And it was, you know, like that for me was like, oh yeah, it almost reminded me like, oh yeah, Josh, be loose. And so that was really cool to get that, to get that reminder a couple hours before I competed, like, hey, don't forget that this works really well. And so then I was able to go into normal routine. You guys have heard it a million times, talked about it a million times on the show. Normal routine, Wim Hof breathing, 2 hours. I actually did it. It ended up being 90 minutes out because they called me 30 minutes early. But that's why I do 2 hours out, is because they may call you a little early. Even if they called you an hour early, it would still work, right? And so I did 3 rounds of Wim Hof breathing. If you go to type in on YouTube, Wim Hof breathing, it's literally like the first video. It's like guided Wim Hof breathing where he will tell you when to inhale, when to exhale. I usually do that. I just followed my own rhythm this time, but same amount of breaths and the same idea. And I did 3 rounds, 3 breath holds. I probably did a minute breath hold, maybe a minute and a half on my very last one. I didn't really keep track. And I also listened to music. Just a little note, I actually sit up the first round because it kind of limits the amount of oxygen you're pulling in. And then I lay down maybe either the second or the third. I think I laid down only the third round because as when we talked with Miles Lucas about this, it's so fun to get to go compete, man, and to just get to experiment with stuff, because like this is the first time I've done it exactly this way, and it felt to me like the best way I've ever done it. So I did 2 rounds sitting up, and I didn't have the finger tingles. I didn't have the cold face that you get if you are familiar with doing Wim Hof breathing. If you're not and you're trying to compete, do this, okay? Look at that YouTube video, do some rounds, and do it exactly like this. It will freak you out at first because your body responds when you do this forced hyperventilation, basically. And your body will tingle and feel cold and or you know, you'll just feel weird stuff. And you will also disassociate, which is really what you're looking for as a competitor. But as we talked about with Miles Lucas, it's so effective that I talked about it. I did a tournament where I was injured, and I had done so many reps of this that I had zero nerves at all. And he, as he explained it, was, oh, you were too high on your own supply. And he said, so what happens then he goes, did you not protect your injury? And I'm like, literally, I gave this dude my injury at one point in the match. And it was just like, what the heck happened there? And that was the only, and it could have been a million other things. Could have just made a mistake. But when I look at like even how I was retaining guard, how I was playing jujitsu that day, it was like, oh my gosh, it was so lazy. It was so like, I'm going with a white belt and I don't care, but I was going with a really tough black belt. And it was just one of those things, like I was winning the whole match and it just didn't think about how to maintain the win. It just, I don't know, didn't play well. And so since then I've been looking at what is the method. 2 rounds sitting up of, I think it's 30 breaths. And I generally like peak them. So they start slow and then they go faster. And then at the, you know, at rep 20, then I kind of maybe, or even rep 25, maybe I'll do a few slower ones and then I'll do my breath hold. Breath holds, I don't focus too much on 30 seconds on my breath holds. The last one I'll do a minute and a half. But 2 rounds sitting up, 1 round laying down. That round laying down had the finger tingles, but it wasn't ridiculous. It was like just enough. And then I was listening to music and it wasn't too ridiculously aggressive of music. It was probably Lady Gaga or something, who knows. But that right there, if I had nothing else, I would just do that. And I promise you guys, I would choose that over anything else. When it comes to warm up, when it comes to anything else. My warm-up was my normal jog a little bit, try to get warm, something to try to get warm. Sometimes I'll do different stuff to try to just get that initial warm-up, but then I'll do some kind of like get my breath going, like my lungs blown out almost. I know the breath work does that for you, but just feels better to do it this way. I'll do sprint, 3 burpees, sprint, 3 burpees, sprint, 3 burpees, sprint, 3 burpees, sprint, 3 burpees. End up with 15 burpees, and I might do 3 rounds of that total. And I've messed with that. I don't think I have any perfection on that. The real thing is I'm trying to, with at least an hour to recover, or even 45 minutes, 30 minutes to recover, I'm trying to get the anxiety burnt off, basically, or the adrenaline burnt off that you have from the tournament. And that has always been my favorite way to do it, or at least lately, the last few years, been my favorite way to do it. Those things, just kind of trusting that process for me, even though it's been a while and I'm competing and it feels like I'm competing in a different world than I have been competing in. And I am just going to go out there, whatever, just going to go compete and see how I can do with what I have that day. And it was just so much fun. It was just unexplainable. You know, after how terrible of a son I have and how kind I am to him, on my birthday, on my 30th birthday, I think I could have asked Emily, like, we could have done anything, and she would have been like, yeah, we'll do it. And I chose to go to freaking Memphis and do the Memphis Open. No offense to any of you Memphisians, but nobody in their right mind would choose Memphis Open over like a weekend trip literally anywhere else. And I did, because I'm not in my right mind. And I am just so happy I did it. I'm so beat up from it. I just needed to be a competitor again. I loved getting to coach the week before. I loved getting to coach that day. But there is something to just like going out and sending it and getting to go. For me, it's like getting to go as hard as I can in jujitsu at times, you know, and just really, or just using my best jujitsu where I'm not letting people win any little grip fight. I'm trying to win every second of this. There's something about that level of being present. That's unbelievable. It was just, it's crazy. Like after my matches, I have 4 really tough matches. After all those, I'm like, man, I barely even remember what happened in any of those matches. And I'm the type of person that can do 10 rounds and tell you like, oh yeah, this happened in this round, this happened in this round. But that day it was just like so present, so focused on just winning every single fight and then winning the next one and then winning the next one. You know, it was a blast. It felt great. And so let's go ahead. Let's look at, we'll at least talk, we'll go through my first two matches, and we'll stop before a really exciting one. I'll give you guys a cliffhanger before we go to a little commercial break. And so, as I told you, everything at this point is normal, besides my son being there, you know, us all, me, my wife, and son, doing the tournament, and then everything else about the tournament, the weight classes and the divisions and everything is totally different. But besides that, everything's the same. First match against an ultra heavyweight. I come out, I pull guard, and I really hadn't thought too much into game plan. I tell you guys how I generally, prep for matches is it sucks that I don't find out, you know, when you're doing an open class, you don't find out until 30, 45 minutes before you have the person, what they play, or who you have, I mean. And so, with all the other divisions, you know, a couple days before. And so I just will do a little study right when I find out who I have. Like, okay, these are things that work on him. And so what I kind of saw was, I think I can pull guard. I was watching divisions of this guy when he was a medium heavyweight, and he's an ultra heavyweight now. And so maybe that wasn't, maybe that wasn't the best videos to watch. But it was just like, we're just feeling it out, bro. We're just going out and competing. So I go pull guard. He grip fights a ton, and just, I feel like he's not threatening to pass my guard very often, but every time I start to get close to something that I feel like I could use to sweep him or submit him with, he will like go super excessive distance and grip fight me really hard and just break grips. And so I'm like trying to not overextend, but I haven't competed in a long time. I want to just go after it. You know, I want to just go and try to change up the match. But I think that that's probably a mistake. And I also, I just trust my coaching. And so my coaches are kind of telling me to stay in guard. There's actually, in one of the videos, you can hear my coach, Kyle, coach from day one, you know, taught me this sweep. He said something along the lines of, you can sweep him off, you know, come up to him and sweep him off his right sleeve, something really specific. And I don't even remember hearing it, but I mean, literally a couple seconds later, I did it and I hit this guy with a hip bump. And then it sucks. I didn't really get to put as much pressure on people as I was hoping to. I had to play way more bottom, just being so undersized for my division, or for the open class, I guess. I'm getting kind of on top and getting to kind of smash. And then I kind of end the match. He tries to wrestle up. I kind of end the match on that. Next match, I recognize this guy and I can't figure out where it's from. I'm like, wait a second, this guy, he won an open class that I was in at adult years ago. And it was like one of my best adult open class performance. I lost to a guy in the semis, and then this guy that I'm about to go with, he won the final. And so he won that open class, you know, years ago. And so I'm like, okay, I know this guy, I know he's a legit competitor, I know he's been around for a long time. And I know that he also knows how to do 6-minute matches with points more than I do. You know, it's been 10 years since I've done a six with points. I've done some sixes, but they've been submission only. And that's a completely different vibe. You know, especially submission only, they've been no-gi submission only with all submissions legal. Going out and just trying to play the game of heel hooks, it's totally different than going out and playing a 6-minute IBJJF match against guys who have played it. And so just with that, with this match, it was like I felt warm and I felt like, okay, I'm back to competing now. And I'm not saying I felt like middleweight, you know, Super Saiyan 4, Josh, maybe Super Saiyan 3, who knows? Who knows which Super Saiyan? Maybe God Key Josh. Who knows which Josh? But 2023 Josh, definitely a peak for me. 2024 Josh, he's not. But didn't matter. I knew what I had that day. And when you're in the moment, none of that stuff matters. It's like, it's never like, you know, me thinking about this isn't what I used to feel like. I didn't used to feel this. I used to feel better after a 6-minute match. My guard used to feel a little more dynamic. Nah, screw that. This is what I have today. Let's go use it to win matches, you know, and we'll just see. And we'll just feel it out. And so as I did that, I went into this match. I went out pretty aggressive. I tried a throw, and it was a throw that would land me in guard if I missed it. And, man, I can't believe I didn't hit it. I thought I nailed it. And but from there, I was able to get underneath, was able to sweep, and I was able to really just – I kind of got into a weird spot from the sweep. We ended up in like a 50-50, which always sucks. I almost feel like most of the time you could ask both competitors like, hey, we could just reset you in like open guard with no grips. Would you guys want to do that? Same guy on top, same guy on bottom. They'd be like, yeah, that sounds cool. But it's just like what happens in 50-50, and this is exactly what happened. We both had a favorable grip. Both guys, it's like I needed to get my leg free. Every time I would start to get my leg free, he would start to come up on his sweep and start, well, he really just come up to a single leg. He wasn't even coming up on a sweep, just coming up to a single. And I wanted to keep him on bottom. So then for me, anytime he would open, anytime he would start to threaten it all and do anything but just keep locked, I was starting to pass. And so it was like, I don't want to give up. I'm so close to passing if I can just get through this. And so I'm keeping pressure on him with about a minute left. So I'm up 2 off of my sweep. Minute left, he comes up on a single. And I mean, it's a pretty good, it's definitely not an angle that 2023 Josh would have been happy about. I'm able to get up high enough to lock in a guillotine, and it's really, really tight. I can feel it. Like, I really feel like I'm actually going to finish it. He was tough to it. It was deep enough that, I don't know, I expected him to tap there. And I end up sweeping off of it. We kind of both end up standing. There's no score, and I win that match. Feel really, really good. And again, you're in the moment, and you're just kind of watching matches and trying to compete. And now I'm in the final, and haven't even put any thought into this yet, but now I just win my match. I've got about 15-20 minutes to recover, and the other semifinal has already been decided. And the other semifinal is against a guy, and it feels unfair to use physical characteristics to just like, this is how I'm going to describe this guy to you. I'm not going to tell you about any accolades or anything like that. I'm just going to say, like, I look across, like, okay, this next match, your boy Josh McKinney, who's weighing in at a soft 196 pounds and 5'10", goes against this guy in the final, who is 6'9". So almost a foot taller, and I don't know what he weighed in at, but he looked like a lean, mean fighting machine. He looked like a regular muscular dude that you just stretched the cruiser bar out on and made him 6'9" when you were in create a character mode. Like, I wonder what it would be like if an average dude had to go up against this guy, and like, he was average, but except like he was a foot taller than average. Like, I wonder how that would be. And so you guys will find that out after the commercial break. And so we'll get into that in just a second. Hey guys, Josh McKinney here. Just wanted to tell you guys about simplifyingjujitsu.com. I always tell you about different products that we have, but I really never tell you about the website and explain to you what that is. And so what Simplifying Jiu-Jitsu is a company that myself, Logan Wayne, and my dad, Steve McKinney, started a couple of years back. And it is an idea of, it's kind of two ideas. One, most jiu-jitsu courses are just not filmed very well. And they're kind of, with not being filmed well, with not telling the story very well, you don't understand everything that's being explained to you. You don't understand the techniques that you buy. And with Simplifying Jiu-Jitsu, we have tried to change that. And we also have tried to find some of the best ideas and the best coaches to share these ideas with you. And so if you guys ever have any interest, if you're ever looking to up your jiu-jitsu technique, your jiu-jitsu concept, your jiu-jitsu ideas, and if you want to see any of the courses that I've ever released or that my dad has ever released, you can check those out at simplifyingjiu-jitsu.com. And there's so much for you guys to dig in. There's free ebooks. There is courses that will change the way that you look at jiu-jitsu. And this is all available at simplifyingjiu-jitsu.com. Let's go ahead and get back into this episode, and we will talk about my fight with Goliath. All right, guys, let's go ahead and we'll get into the finals of the open class of Master One. This is my first open class final ever at Black Belt. And for me, I'm excited. I'm ready to go after this guy. I know he's going to be big. I'm sure he's going to be strong. But I'd watched his two matches before, and I'm like, I'm ready to go. And so get enough rest, go out, start grappling. And holy cow, this guy was good. And that was worst case scenario for me. I was like, I was hoping he was just going to be big. And I felt him in a few situations almost like just outsmart me on little grip fights that I always win on people. And then also just his own body awareness with his body, like him knowing where he was, like versus me going with a guy and be like, okay, this is where a normal person would be. And man, those two things to me were like huge, were super significant. And so, you know, we went and I think he almost passed. I had to use some crazy defensive spinny guard retention. And then he almost passed again, had to use some more crazy defensive spinny guard retention, escape one hook on the back with choke grip or something ignorant, somewhere you just definitely shouldn't be with a guy who is that big, or with anybody for that matter. And eventually I end up kind of taking a risk towards the end of the match, and it gets my guard passed, and that was pretty much the match. But holy smokes, this guy was tough. This guy, he really brought the heat, man. I definitely a guy that I'm sure that as I get to do Master One, I do more open classes, I'll get more reps against. And I, you know, even beat down, I like, if you had told me like, hey, you get another shot to go with him tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sweet. Yeah, I have another idea. You know, I'm not going to try that again. But that was a really fun close to my day. So I thought, and the reason I kind of figured it was a close to my day is I just fought two ultra heavies and a super. I'm beat up. I'm like, yeah, I'm about done. My coaches are all coming up to me and telling me like, yeah, I think you probably, you know, basically I get a free no-gi medal when no-gi starts later on that day. But no-gi won't start for a couple hours. Then I could register for open class. So that's the option, right? And again, being in the moment, and this is like weird because I never, you know, after a pretty good performance, I never want to register for open class. But for me, I was like, I was excited. And I was like, I had fun competing. I'm really beat up. I don't feel like I probably should, but I'm like, I really would like to just see if anybody's even doing it. You know, if nobody's doing it, it's a small division. I could have one match. Like I could do one more and try to win gold and open and no, who knows, right? And so that's my mindset. My coaches are like, ah, you be done for the day. And so I'm like, yep, I'm done for the day. And so go over to get my medal later on in the day when the no-gi part of the tournament starts. This is like 3:30 after I'm done competing, 4 o'clock. And been there since 10. Now I've had three matches. Still just being in the moment though, bro. And they give me my medal. and they say, do you want a podium picture? I'm like, no, I don't need one. I, you know, didn't do anything for this one. And they're like, okay, well, they go, do you want to register for open class? I went, huh? Like, I don't know when I'm going to get to compete again. I haven't competed in 9 months. This was such a gift to be able to, I had to pull the birthday card, you know, to get to do. I could have one more match. There's only like four guys right now in the open. I could do one or two. You know, I could win. I could go one. I could win a match and then be tired and then lose if I needed to. Who cares? You know? And so I go and I sign up, but I actually sign up with the intention of like, I might not do this. Throw on, I have my shorts and rash guard on, and I throw my khaki joggers on and my hoodie on over it, and so you can't even tell that I'm ready. I'm prepped. As Devin Parada would say, what's telling us on the podcast, he's always strapped to go no-gi. If somebody's like, oh, well, I only do no-gi, he's got shorts on, he's got rash guard on. I'm walking around like Devin Parada, right? And so I'm still like telling people like, yeah, I'm not doing it. Like, I'm registered, but I'm not doing it. Then as the day starts to go, we win the gi team points. Tag team does, big shout out tag team. And then no gi. And it's like, we only have like 9 no gi competitors. No way we can win. Oh my gosh, we're close. You just need to win every open class. I'm like, Josh, you got to go out there, bro. I'm like, I don't want to go out there. Like, it doesn't matter. You got to. And I'm like, okay, let's go. I'll just go out there. And so didn't warm up, didn't do anything. Don't recommend that. But that is something that I have done for open classes before. Like if I have competed in my division that day and I'm super beat up, is like sometimes my, and this is such a weird explanation, but sometimes like my rewarm up just causes my blood sugar to drop. Or like my just causes me to be super exhausted. And I just don't recover from that second warm up as well. And so there have been a lot of times for the open, I just, if I don't have a ton of times, 2 or 3 hours, I've kind of stayed warm with a hoodie on and moved around a little. And I just go out and slowly start grip fighting and start grappling, right? And that's what I did for this match. I thought I did pretty good on the match. I thought I was, you know, 0-0 the whole time, but I really felt as though I should have gotten the nod, and I really, really felt as though, and but who knows, who cares, and I ended up not winning that match, I ended up losing the ref's decision, but all in all, it was a great experience. Even that match was fun. I got to kind of, you know, I don't work a ton on the feet, and I really haven't worked on the feet in a no-gi match in years, and my stand-up has gotten so much better, and so it was fun to get to like try it in an actual tournament and go, okay, will this work? Is this just defensive? Is it just offensive enough? Is it the right balance for an actual competition? So I got to fight that in the match. Awesome experience. But the big takeaways for me, just kind of like as we end that, where do you go? One, where do you go from here? And that's always what you look at with jiu-jitsu tournaments, is like, I did a little bit of movement a day or two after. I think it's really easy to be so excited if you perform well at a tournament and come back that next day and be training super hard and not give yourself any break. You can train a little, but you've got to give yourself a break. You just have to let yourself rest. And then like, especially if you're competing a lot, you know, you're going to be competing a lot. You're trying to master performance at that point. You're not trying to master volume and performance. And so just focus on like, okay, I'm going to train one day a week, even for the next week or two. And maybe I can go harder in that, or maybe you're so beat up. Like for me, I can't go super hard right now. My body's just too beat up. I can do a little bit of rounds with guys I'm bigger than. So that's just kind of how you finish from a tournament. As always, you look at what you could have done better. For me, be in better shape. You know, that's always the, you know, get more sleep. Those two things I think are my big takeaways. But this was kind of, I really feel like this is a weirder episode because it feels to me like just an ad for the stuff that we talk about in the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. That stuff, those, the breath work, the mindset of just being present, not being too tense, you know, being loose enough. All those things are just things that we have reiterated a million times at this point, not at the beginning of the show, because at the beginning of the show, I didn't know all that stuff. That stuff was stuff that I, you know, with your guys' help, found with different conversations, right? With the right guy that would explain it to us and explain it the right way and be like, oh, wow. And then enough people explaining the same thing slightly differently. I'm like, oh, that's what they mean. They mean be present. They mean just stay in the moment. You can't control that. You know, you can't, oh, you lost a ref's decision. Okay. Can't control it. You know, if you're in the moment and that's like, that's why, you know, that they were joking after that match. My whole team really reacted, you know, and was pretty upset about that. My coaches were very upset about that match. And I, as a competitor, barely reacted. And it was just because I was like, at the end of that round, I knew I had done what I had done. I knew that that was all I had. You know, I did my best jiu-jitsu that match. I did my best to win it. And, you know, that was up to the ref. That's not in my control. I'm not focused on it. And so I was a little shocked when I didn't get my hand raised. But, you know, who cares? I would have had to have another match. And I would have been even more sore. And so, you know, it was a good day, though. I got exactly what I came for, which was, like, as we've said four or five times in this episode, just trying to find out, man. Just trying to see, okay, is there still that, is that fire still burning? Do you still want to hurt people? I'm just like, yeah, I think so. I think I do. I think it's kind of all I want to do, actually, now that I get to experience it again. But just like, how do you set yourself up for that? And that's what I'm going to be focused on for the next bit of time, is how do you rebuild your schedule? How do you go from, you know, the best competitor you've ever been to maybe a step back? And how long does it take? And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at on the podcast, is we're going to be looking at on the show, is getting back, or even getting there the first time. But I've gotten this great reset. You know, the difference is, like, I feel like the last 3 years of the show have been this lead up of, okay, we found out about breath work. Oh, we found out a little more about it. Oh, it's really working. I'm telling you guys about it. I'm experimenting with it. And then it's becoming this checked box where I go, okay, well, I feel really comfortable getting ready for tournaments. I feel really comfortable because I know that part that would always screw me, the anxiety part, I'm feeling really comfortable with. I don't worry about as much because I have this breath work now. And then what started happening is I was like, oh man, I'm really feeling my warm-ups really good too. I can focus on getting good at jiu-jitsu, right? I can focus on all this other stuff. And because the breath work, the warm-up, I'm competing every month, every other month for a while. Sometimes there was a time I competed 8 times in 3 months last year. And it was just like, it was all lead up, and all that stuff just became second nature to me. I got to do it mindlessly. The jiu-jitsu that I was playing in tournaments, it was pretty mindless. I could just go out and do it. Well, my body composition has changed. My jiu-jitsu has changed. My physicality has changed. Everything's changed. So it's like I'm getting to apply all these ideas again to a new person. You know, he's an old person, but a new person, a different person, and trying to see what it does this time. And so, yeah, for me, I think that it's going to be fun to kind of go through the show as I do masters. I don't think, if I'm being totally honest with you guys, just straight up, just me and you talking, just you and me, two best friends, having a conversation, I don't think I'm done with adult. I think I could be there. I know I'll do some super fights that'll be against whoever, but I could see Destin off the 10-minute timer, maybe for one more run, but I don't think it's tomorrow either. We'll kind of see with that. We'll play it all by ear, man. We're just gonna feel it out, and that's kind of where I'm at as a competitor right now. And I'm excited to kind of go through this process of a different experience and get to share it with you guys, and it not just be me be like, yeah, be an adult competitor, train every single day. You know, this is how you should be doing it. Do it this way, right? And I don't know. I think it could help even more competitors and just help a larger group of competitors. And so I think that's all I have for you guys today. I hope that you enjoyed today's story. I know I really just told you guys about how I did some of the simple methods that worked. Kind of a weirder podcast, a different podcast. I haven't done one like this in forever. But hopefully you liked it. If you did, I'm sure that I'm going to be competing more, and I will be giving these kind of perspectives of this is what's working, this is what's not. Yeah, big lesson here. Do not, if somebody's a foot taller than you, just don't go out to compete. Just don't do it. Like, you know what? You win today, sir. You win. I could be on top of the podium and you would still be taller than me anyway. You win. You win. No, I'm just joking. In all honesty, biggest lesson I learned is sometimes you're not going to be in perfect shape, but you schedule a competition. Just go out and do it. You know, just challenge yourself. You will figure it out. If that competitor is in you, you know, and for me, I could feel that reckless competitor who, you know, doesn't care about his body or anything else, waking up a little bit. And so it was fun to get to experience that. And so the only way I was going to experience it though was to go out and schedule a tournament, get some competition against some tough guys. And yeah, I'm thankful I got to do that. And that's all I have for you guys today. We'll send it over to Josh to close out the episode. And that is the episode. Hope you guys liked this one. This was fun for me to just kind of tell you guys about the weekend. I know it's cool. IBJJF posted all of those videos on YouTube Live. So if you were looking at IBJJF.com and following my name, you were able to follow along with how my day was going and just all my matches. And so it was funny how many, I was shocked how many texts I came back to after the last ref's decision. My friends didn't handle it well either, but it was cool how many people got to see it and got to just see it for free. That was, I'm so happy that that happens, or they're doing that now. Hopefully that's the new standard, man. But regardless, that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you guys for checking it out. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. And also, I really appreciate how many people just come up and tell me that they listen to the podcast. And it's cool to go to jiu-jitsu tournaments. I've gone to 2 in the last 2 weeks. And the amount of people that have told me that the podcast has helped their jiu-jitsu competition. And not many people tell me how much it helps their jiu-jitsu. Sometimes when I do seminars, they tell me that. But when you're at a tournament, people that see me, they're like, oh yeah, this guy gave me 10 commandments of jiu-jitsu competition and I needed them. And so it's awesome to just get that feedback. You know, that in person, like somebody just coming up and saying hi and sharing their experience with the show and what helped them. And yeah, I just appreciate that. I appreciate you guys. And that's all I have for you guys today. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. And I hope it helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.